There he is. Craig is in the house. Gentlemen, we are coming at you on a Monday night. XFL season 65 in the books after watching that Super Bowl. I turned it off after the first quarter. But we are coming at you. Everyone loved it so much the first time. But this time, Van and Rob are actually going at it over Van's player ratings. No, we are back for the other 16 teams that we did not cover in the last
podcast.
We're going to break down how we think you built your team to this point in the cycle, really. Go over some moves you made, some players that are still on your team, players you developed. Just kind of break it down. Talk about the 16 teams. Last time we covered Bears through 49ers. And now we're going to go Giants all the way down to the Minnesota Vikings. So with that being said, man, let's get into it, brother. Who we got first, the Giants?
Yeah, I loved what we did, you know, the first half.
We got Rob. Yeah, Rob. What's going on, Rob? Welcome, brother.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Oh, fuck, you're never going to hear that one.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of the new guys, you know, have been so great. And you kind of see what they've done and what they've – you know, I'm really looking forward to what they do in the new one. However, you know, starting at the Giants, and I'm gonna pass the ball over to Rob first, and then we'll go to Nick. But just looking at the Giants roster, there'd be a team I'd like to take any time at any of the cycle. Rob, what do you think?
Man, I think Sean did an awesome job building this team. No, he inherited a really good quarterback in that Fowler and Harris. He's been a solid wide receiver. Those are two really good pieces that came from the previous owner.
Jim Jones really did most of the work on this team, if you think about it.
Yes.
And he was only here, what, two or three seasons, so he didn't really have that much time, but it was those key seasons in the middle of the cycle where he added nice pieces. But go ahead, Rob.
No, he had two home runs and then, you know, ended up handing it off to Sean, and It's a decent looking squad. It's still got, you know, some of the players that originally came with it. Plus, he picked up the Denzel Ward, which was a pretty nice piece. But
yeah,
it looks good overall. Good pass rush.
Yeah, Jim Jones came in and he moved to Sean Watson right away, and had the number one overall pick and took Fowler, and then he traded a future one for Denzel Ward. He added Minkah Fitzpatrick, which are two huge additions on defense to a pretty bad secondary at the time. And like you said, he did have a little help because Clutch and his buddy that was Commanders did all those moves, and he ended up having the Commanders first and ended up being like the third pick, and you got Aaron Harris. So yeah, he inherited a really, you know, he built and kind of inherited some nice pieces, and then Smitty hasn't done anything. He just kind of wrote this roster.
Big shitty.
Yeah, big shitty. But, you know, that's the thing, though. It's one of those things. He inherited a really good roster in one of the worst divisions in the league.
You got to kind of talk about that. You really got to talk about that.
Because I do think if Smitty had this division locked up, and then he went on vacation for like 6 weeks and took like six straight losses. So, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I think he's had this division easily the last couple of seasons.
So who did the and I know Brapp talked about this, and I don't want to fucking stomp on him too much, but I'm looking at Fitzpatrick and Harris here, who are both, you know, one of my favorite Madden players at their positions. That was that the same trade, Nick?
Ooh, Fitzpatrick and who?
And Harris.
No, Harris was a draft. He drafted Harris.
No. Harris, the running back, Najee.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Let me double check. And then you got Ojulari, who is, you know, when I played against him, I could not do anything outside the pocket. He was a, you know.
Well, and Thibodeau, yeah.
Oh, man. Like, you're looking at this roster right now, and I don't know. You know, we'd have to break it down into more who gets more credit.
Yeah, so Minkah and Najee for Kadarius Toney, Elijah Mitchell, and a defensive tackle, Brennan Harris.
Yikes.
Just an absolutely terrible.
I know Brapp doesn't like that trade. And I don't
traded for a 93-speed receiver, who he then got rid of right away. Elijah Mitchell, who he then He ended up trading for running back anyway for Brandon Harris, which he shouldn't have traded for any D tackle because it doesn't matter. But you traded away.
Is that Jim Jones that got him like that?
Yeah. And Minka. Minka's one of the better safeties. Tall, aggressive play ball, 91 speed. Had to pay a lot for that. So
this is a nice roster. This is kind of like that Browns roster that you handed me over when I first joined.
Dude, it's all about timing. When your time called, did the revolving door leave, or did you get lucky and snag someone had to step away for a minute because of work, and you get a really good roster? So.
And cornerbacks play forever. I'm looking at Denzel, and he's still 94 speed, 95 ACC. You know, okay. So
who's next?
All right, who's next? We're gonna go to Jaguars. This ought to be pretty freaking interesting. I don't want anybody to be too fucking nice here. Okay.
This isn't hard to be nice.
Nick, I'm gonna start.
Do you want to take this or me?
No, I want you to. I want to see where you're at with this because all I'm seeing right now is red arrows down.
Yeah, I don't like this roster at all. Maybe the corners where you get like Ronnie Kemp, Ben Holiday, but he's considered to play ball. Like, I don't know. This one, there's nothing really to be excited about. You have some linebackers, Josh Allen, Trayvon White. Yeah, just a position that doesn't really matter. Receivers, Mike Evans and Godwin. He is a Bucs fan, so it makes sense that he has Godwin and Mike Evans. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of this roster. And, you still have Lawrence. You still have ETN. I don't know, with the top draft picks, I would just expect it to look, And once again, I think we've heard it every podcast. This division was super not winnable, but competable for Air V. Like for him to be where he's at.
Right.
Yeah. It's been a disappointing cycle.
Who's the before we move to Rob, didn't he draft a tall wide receiver in the first couple of rounds?
Yeah, I think he lost him now because everybody wanted him. He was like 6'4", 91 speed, and he didn't even use him as a rookie.
Okay. So I don't
know a second-year guy.
I don't know where he's gone. So it'd be nice to figure out where he's at moving down.
Grizz offered him a bunch right after that draft, and he said no and then didn't use him. It was interesting.
Rob, what do you think of this roster, dude?
Well, I thought the Ronnie Kemp was a really good pickup in the draft, but I play ARV twice a season, and I remember one game, and I think it was last year when Kemp had like those 8 picks that I think he had 2 or 3 picks on me in that game. But you throw out that game, and I think I looked earlier, and Kemp's only got like 18 picks on the cycle, which is surprising because everything looks good. He's aggressive play ball. Everything looks good, but he's just not producing.
6 feet tall and 96 speed. He's one of those little 5'9" guys.
Yeah, I don't get it. You mentioned Bucks earlier. He's also got that White, that linebacker, as well.
He did win the free agency let on him.
Always fun to play. He gets, the roster might not look the best, but he gets the maximum out of it. It seems like when we play, it's always a nip and tuck game, but.
Agreed.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Good.
And the one thing that I'll say, I'm not going to comment too much after having your guys' feedback, but I'm looking at, the roster, and usually you can see a direction that somebody's going or they're trying to take or what they've tried to do. You can see some fossils, right? And I'm looking right now, and he has 1, 2, 3, 4. He has 7 halfbacks. And third string is a 94, 90 speed, 25-year-old. And I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what.
It's tricky when you look at some people. It's right to this, Matt, and with the depth chart reset, you're like, wait, are you starting? It's a mess.
Yeah, that's fair. But, you shouldn't have 7 halfbacks.
Yeah, I just expect, I don't know, the Ronnie Kemp one was great. Ben Holiday can sort of play ball, but, beast. I just expect ARB to win more than 3 games, I don't care what the roster looks like.
And hats off, if there's anybody that can get through a season and just have a fun game and be a good member, it's him. You know, but he is a much better, like Rob was saying, he's a much better user than his record. Okay.
Dude, back in the day, Airby used to be, you know, he's super stingy to trade with, which is no fun. And he only makes the deals if it's a huge win in his favor, especially when dealing with first round picks. So I think that prevents a lot of his team building. Because it's just like you're stuck with a lot of pieces and you're letting him hit free agency or you're re-signing him and then you have to build through free agency, really. So I don't know.
Okay, let's go. So we're on to the Jets. You know, and I guess I'll just say a quick thing before passing off to Rob here. But
do we need to really even say anything?
No, exactly. Like what do you say? Like the one thing that I will say, I will compliment, is he's got a nice mix of real players and EA gents. I will say that. Like you know, he's made some moves to get some real guys in here. Like the Dax Hill thing, nobody could get that guy to work. Obviously, Jack has done well. He's kept his quarterback. He's still got Quinnen Williams.
Breece Hall.
Yeah. Like, so for me, that's the way I like to build a team. I like to mix and match. But, like, they're just 99s, 98s, 97s all the way down the board. Rob, what are you thinking?
I personally think Jack is the best team builder. I've learned so much from him. He's completely changed the way I look at a draft. Now, I will tell you that the players he goes for and the players I go for are different. And, you know, but I like listening to what he's saying and kind of, you know, we talk a lot when it gets close to the draft and I try to sponge off of him. You know, that Mike James wasn't his first choice at safety.
Nick was trying to get him.
Oh, Pride's guy, right?
Yes. He was all in on that guy that Pride took, and James was basically a consolation prize.
Yep.
And that guy's a stat. That guy's been a complete animal this cycle. Aggressive safety.
Very nice, though.
You know, he grabbed that Coleman, I think, in like the second or third round, and threw him aside after like a season or two, and picked up that Max Stewart. And that guy is,
dude.
I know what people say about linebackers, but man, that guy is legit.
You know, 93 speed at linebacker, dude. With because I was talking to Jack trying to get that pick from him. I think he took him at 11 or something, maybe 12. And I was trying to get that pick to move up, not to take him. I want a different guy, which ended up getting my guy anyways. But Jack was set on Stewart not making it to where he was going to drop down to. So, yeah, no, there's something to say about the ref. That ref is awesome.
Nick, you were talking about making a swing for Matt James. What happened there?
For his safety.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a couple a deal lined up that we was in the works early to get me him for a couple of firsts and a replacement safety. It was a lot. It was like three first round picks or something. But at the end, Jack and it wasn't enough. And I knew it wasn't enough. If I was gonna score him, I was like, holy cow, but I knew it was just kinda seeing where we're at, but it wasn't early enough in the cycle for Jack to want all those picks, to be honest. So
okay,
he's a beast though. Mike James, he's one of my favorite one of my favorite Madden Gen guys this cycle that we've seen. So
do you have any more thoughts on his roster side of Yikes?
No, their roster's nice.
Yeah.
He gets to the point where like O line doesn't even matter, but he gets good offensive line because he has no money to spend anywhere else. So he just pays the top O-line.
He got Sauce Gardner to a 95, and Sauce was a rookie, right? Like,
Sauce,
that's nice. And then,
Sauce is going to be nasty out of the box.
Yeah, all you people who have Jets on your list. All right, the next very, very interesting roster. Nick, I'm going to, you know, start with you because you're a local guy and everything like that, and these guys are probably we're going to go with the Lions here and our guys. Party. What he's done.
You know, offensively, he made the big move for Schwartz, the quarterback that Jared won the Super Bowl with. But outside of that, it's really just been Jamison Williams. Like, nothing else really matters. His running back now has kind of come on, but, like, I thought there's games, like, Sparty wouldn't win more than, like, 3 or 4 games a season if it wasn't, like, for these 12-catch, 265-yard, 4-touchdown games from Jamison Williams, where people must just not realize that he's going to throw to him almost every time. And right. Don't cover him. So, offensively, that's really the story. Defensively, he likes his linebackers. He I think he took 2 linebackers early in the draft classes. I just didn't agree with where he picked them at. Even if you need linebacker help, it's just linebackers don't. You know, a linebacker number 6 or when there's other players available. Secondary looks pretty brutal.
And here's another guy with 8 running backs.
Yeah, Ben Bayer's nice in the secondary, his 23-year-old corner.
Yeah.
I think he might be balanced or conservative play ball, though.
He's a decent team builder, as we all know. You look at this roster, it's the crazy thing is obviously he's a Lions fan, and that's why he takes this. It's a pretty stock roster for having 10 years. It's as stock as you're going to get.
Dude, I was going to say, though, this, like, outside of this season coming up, which even this season coming up, the Lions roster is not that exciting. It's got a bunch of average Madden players on it. And Amon-Ra St. Brown and Gibbs. Like, that's pretty much it. Because you don't have all those future firsts and stuff that you had this year. But Sparty, he's taking the challenge of taking this very bad Madden roster, 2 of the last 3 cycles, I think. For him.
Yeah, Rob, what do you think?
Well, I was really surprised that the Lions fell all the way to him at team draft last year, but
I picked him and then changed my mind right before Grizz put the graphic up.
Hey, Sparty, you hear that? They could have went. Yeah.
I picked him and then that changed my mind real quick.
That's insane. 1-19.
I kind of thought they were going to go 1 overall. I was really kind of surprised they didn't. And then for them to tumble all the way down and him to get them. But I think he did a great job with Jamison Williams. I think he was on the right track when he made the trade for Joey Schwartz. It's kind of sad that that guy went from Super Bowl to trade block, but it is what it is. But do you think that trade kind of hurt him in building through the draft? I mean, you think that slowed him up?
He had a couple of beastly seasons, because I think Hutchinson was in that trade. And he had a couple of beastly seasons with Hutchinson, including those early season where O-line and D-line interaction was broken, and it was like people were getting 5 sacks a game. But it's just a tough Madden to trade for a passing quarterback, because there's not a huge difference. So if you're not really getting the speed, selling the house. Because then they did set up, that set up Jared with a bunch of top 10 picks for 2 seasons, I think. So, but hold on real quick, though. Sparty did start the cycle with wings and jigging his division. So props to anyone who just sticks that out. And, he competes. Sparty's tough.
That guy is just a rock, man.
Like, dude, if you go into a game with Sparty and you're not expecting 70 or 68% all-out blitz, man blitz, you're going to be shocked and you're going to know what's happening. Because he runs the most, more than Jack, he runs the most man blitz where he just sends the house. Like 3 plays in a row, dude. He's in like 4-3 or 3-4.
It doesn't matter whether it's 4th and 10.
No, because the D-line doesn't know what – offensive player, you can't get a play to go quick enough. And the offensive line just lets everyone go through. It's effective, but when you go into it knowing it's coming, you can pick it apart. It's
interesting to know. Like, you always kind of got to be aware of the player factories in the league, like Jack and who just manufacture players for trades. And Schwartz was one of those guys. I felt. Now, I'm not saying he wasn't good. I'm saying, like, hey, he was manufactured to move. Right, he was in the Jared.
Yeah, some people don't like to spend the time building your own guy or can't to a certain extent. So, yeah.
Okay, we're moving on. Now, Nick, absolutely, I don't want you to pull any punches on this one, dude. We're at the Packers. I know that you probably, out of anybody in the league, have the most intimate relationship with this roster. Still got Bosa. He's got a killer halfback. We just saw him dismantle, you know, arguably the best user in the XFL. What do you think of this?
Yeah, I'll go quick because then Rob can take it because I've been talking too much. No, the offense is good. You know, it's a fast quarterback, a really good running back. He really likes his tight end. He goes to him a lot. He's got a pretty good cycle for Kaiser, whatever his name is. And then he does have the two fast receivers, 97 and 98 speed, I think. 298 speed guys. So it gives the threat of streaks. So you have to at least, you know, it makes it tough because then you do have to like play over the top or user that spot, and it leaves because he doesn't want to throw streaks. He's not very good at it. But if you don't cover it, and you're user covering, you're leaving a lot open everywhere else. It's a frustrating, you know, game. But Rob, defensively, he's, you know, pretty loaded.
Rob, what do you think of this? I mean, obviously, there's only one way to think of it, but what do you think?
Jiggy is, I mean, he's got a pretty fierce team. I tell you, he's done a lot with Kyler Murray. He's really made him a legitimate dual threat that you have to try to counter. And you're right. I mean, he's got fast receivers. He's got a solid running back. His offense is high flying. And you don't want to get into a scoring game with him, but
no. Well, what really helped him kind of take off the cycle is when he finally admitted to himself that ratings don't matter at all, especially on defense. And he realized he could trade J.O. Alexander. He could trade a bunch of these guys away because the difference between a guy with 95 man and 71 man is really not much when you go into it. When he realized he could do that. And you could, because look at his secondary, dude. You know, he's got some speed and then a bunch of, you know, low overall star normal dev guys. So, you know, it is what it is.
That you know, took him I would, longer I would, to realize that. That Dylan Spain, you know, just beautiful looking running back. When running, wow, like look at 95 speed, 97 acceleration. I mean, I know he's built him up. 99 carry, whatever. He looks good. All right, Rob, we're going to, you know, you and I are going to share this one. We'll let Nick go for this.
Oh, boy.
Now, before
we hear a negative thing, Rob, taking your guys' teams in the team draft.
Now, I'm not eating jam at anyone's ass here, but I've said this is probably the best roster that Nick has done. Now, Rob, what do you think of that comment before we can get going?
I think that it's the perfect team for Nick. I mean, the fast wide receivers, the quarterback that is, you know, there's your dual threat. There was the best Madden Gen quarterback that we've seen the whole cycle. I mean, solid all around. There's no doubt about it. It's definitely Nick's dream team, so he's got to start from scratch in 24 and do it again.
Yeah. So the one thing that it's happened for three cycles in a row, and I don't know whether it's Nick sending thugs to break people's femurs or whatever, but I mean Witherspoon, nobody thought he would fall to him. Owens,
dude, 12. He fell to 12.
Great. We need like this is like a it's a conspiracy theory at some point. I would think.
I was happy we did.
Yeah, what?
No,
what,
it's fun. It is fun.
Cycle, though. What happened, like, the last two?
Hey, I got Denzel Rice last year at 6 or something. He was just a nasty name, too.
He's no Pat Bennett, but, yeah, I get where you're coming from. I mean, it's a nice name, and now I'm looking at this. Now, if I had to build a van roster, it would be this one. Right? Like, you look
at it's just the key of like keeping a couple players that you have that that it might be real, that, you know, like, I can't really get the value I want for this guy if I trade him. So, like, I'll just, you know, keep him for the cycle. Like, a Kalen Barnes. You're like, oh, Amari Barno. Like, I looked at trading him early on, and, like, it's like, for a 95 DN, like, I'm getting some really good offers. But it's like, there's never going to be another one like him. It's too fun to pass up. So.
You know, and you know, when we talk prior to the season starting, I'm like, no, dude, you can't let that guy go. You can't let that guy go. No, what are you thinking? And Nick's like, I'm just going to move my best players. And I always panic. Yep. For him. And then he's like, no, I got this guy, like Barno, who is now, just so anyone knows, he's 31 now. Just so if that doesn't make you feel old, you know, I think he was 17 when we started the cycle. So, you know, he's 31 now, obviously could play corner at 95. And I hate to look at the roster after somebody takes them and go, oh man, now I know why they did. So Nick,
dude, people get scared to trade their high overall players a lot. Or like they're like, oh, I won't. But for me, like, I honestly would rather lose a bunch of games and have my own fun players than, you know, get a bunch of really good players and go win the Super Bowl. Like, it's more fun for me to trade in the offseason, move big pieces, make some flashes, have some fun. Like, at the end of the day, that's why I'm here. Like, you take away the trading and stuff, I'm shutting the league down and I'm out of here, bro.
So we got where did Barnes go? He's gone now. Like, he's that 98 speed cornerback that you developed.
Yeah, they cut him before the season.
Oh,
and he ended up signing with the Vikings. You know, I think he was with the Vikings practice squad. He was all over the place. And I think he's currently a free agent. So we'll see.
This roster, and we all know that, you know, this is a tough roster to stop. It's hard to pass on. It has all the conditions. Hey, easy. All right.
Vincent.
Big V. That's it. So now we're at the Pats. Yeah.
You take this one.
Who?
You.
Oh, me? Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah, this is tough, guys. I mean, you're not, I think personally, you know, the last couple of years, it's been the worst. For me, it's been the worst Madden roster to adopt. You have to either have to be a fan. You have to have some. I think this year with those corners that they have and a couple of pieces, they might be a little bit more attractive. But even with that tall wide receiver, I thought, oh man, how are you going to do that? This is going to be a bottom tier team. But looking at the roster, I mean, it's terrible. I mean, I can't, you know, 87, 86, 83. And I know we're not talking about overalls, but that's where we're going to start. You know, when your kicker is your top, you know, five, and then your punter, and then your guard, it's not a very good roster. But with that said, odds been pretty good with these guys considering.
Rob, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, he's been solid in a really tough division.
Right.
Yeah, I look at it like, you know, New England was the last team picked in the team draft. Tide Pod ended up inheriting him after it passed around a couple users. He has added, in my opinion, that Lionel Sharper. I mean, he was a really good corner. I thought that was a good draft pick. I thought that Pleasant was a really good draft pick. That safety.
Who's that other safety he has?
I can tell you.
Actor might be is it Tyquan?
Tyquan Morse.
Dude, he's nasty.
Yeah. I like his quarterback that he picked up. I mean, he got a guy that's a little versatile, that's got, you know, a little bit of a dual threat to him. 99 throw power. I think he picked him up in the top of the third round. But I mean, it's he's in a tough division. Busy's playing off. Outstanding this cycle, and Pride is always a formidable opponent. Jackson there, I mean, I think Tide Pod's done very respectable.
Yes. Nick, what do you think?
No, yeah, I think really tough division. I think this is his first cycle, and I think he'll be one of the guys that, and he's, you know, decently high in the team draft. I think he'll be a guy that shows his roster building abilities. This next, when he gets a true full cycle with the team he kind of wants, it'll be fun to watch him.
Yeah, Tide Pod, way to go, man. Good cycle.
Yeah, I will add, because I like to highlight, he just spanked me the last time we played. He won like 34-10.
Yeah.
Dang.
Oh, yeah, he spanked me around. I won't say he did it all. I will say, you know, got to throw that in there. Madden gave him a couple, but
right,
not that many.
So with the Raiders up next, I think this is one of my, you know, this guy built a team similarly to like I would, you know, build. He likes his fast wide receivers. He does dig a little bit deeper into the draft and will start guys like Doug Bullitt, who didn't look great, and now all of a sudden is a 94 overall. So he knows how to develop. He knows how to draft. He knows how to retain and develop players. Mahomes is a little bit of a wild card, but seems to be okay. But, you know, overall, you know, with his usability and with his drafting, you know, J-Mo's pretty good, man. What do you guys think? Nick, what's your view?
Yeah, J-Mo's fun because he's a guy that really doesn't care what his roster looks like. He wants to get some fun players. Like Doug Bullitt, dude. Most people would have taken Doug Bullitt. They're like, oh, this guy's going to be sick. Use him a couple of weeks. He would have been slow. They would have stopped using him and moved on to the next guy. J-Mo's got this dude rolling. He had the top receiver and running back this year, yardage-wise?
Crazy. That's nice.
Which is awesome. That was another good pick. Marquise Hurd in a loaded wide receiver class. He ends up being, 97, 98 speed out of the box or something, 6 feet tall. He was a stud, and he took him – like 14 or something. Sorry, I'm on the treadmill here.
I mean, he's 98 right now.
Yeah, he definitely got some bumps. But yeah, J-Mo seems like dude who that he has a freak. He's an outside linebacker. That's a pass rusher. Ben. Who's the fast one? Kareem Harris, Ben Harris.
Kareem Harris, 93 speed.
Yeah. So that's he's got a nice team. I always like how J-Mo drafts and team builds. You know, it was cool to see him put together finally a good season, even though he had to cut it short by with his vacation and couldn't play in the divisional round because he beat Bracken. He probably would have given Tosh a good game. So,
Rob, tell us why you can't stand J-Mo's roster.
Well, let me tell you what. No. Do you think I'm going to jeopardize my sportsmanship score in a podcast, man? Come on. Yeah. You guys pretty much hit the nail on the head with the Raiders, but the only thing I want to kind of say is the most surprising thing for me is Pat Mahomes he was the follow the bouncing ball this cycle. For some strange reason, he went all over the place. Now he's on the Raiders. Of course, got him to the playoff, but I mean, that's just been really shocking that he bounced around like he did.
And that is shocking, you know, and you know, like, and Nick has always said this, if it goes to two users and they're good users and they move them, get off. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't look good. And we had four or five people kind of do that. And with Mahomes, man, I knew right away when I wanted Kansas City in the beta and he was doing that stupid sidearm shit. Like, I'm not taking this thing. No way.
Yeah, I think J-Mo debunked the Mahomes thing. I think he just went to users who weren't using him correctly. Sure. Put it in a nice way. But you can't, you know, Mahomes is Mahomes. He's like a 99 overall player.
Okay, well, we're playing hot potato now, and I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not touching this one. So I'm going to let you guys decide who you are. I think Craig, who do you want? You know, we got the Rams right now. So, we'll, you know, what do you guys think of this? This has been the redheaded stepchild with the hairless of all teams. Of the
Rob, you want to go with me?
You know, I can plug a couple of things. First of all, I think draft capital was down from the get-go. And then this team bounced around a little bit. You know, one good addition that they did make, that cornerback Gore. Gore. I thought that was a really good pickup, but I feel like, you know, that I thought that Finley, that safety, I thought he was, you know, somebody that I was kind of scouting. But it was tough for them. They didn't have the draft capital to really go out and make some big moves. So I will say, that held him back.
The death of a team is you start a cycle without draft capital and without, you know, decentish, you know, you have like three good players on the roster to start. And then you have a below average user and then a non-active user in, you know, I'm talking about Henny and a couple, you know, who don't really do anything to help the team. It just sets them back even further. And then you throw in that this division, dude, was Cardinals, Seahawks, Niners. Doing yourself no favors in there, so it's hard to develop players. I think KOTB is going to be nice this next cycle. He's making his little content run now to get, you know, in a, maybe a more favorable draft position. Because just, a couple weeks ago, he was 32nd, dude. He was negative in user rank points, and now he's already climbed to 23. So we'll see what happens here.
Very nice.
But he was just in a really bad spot when he took over this team. So shout out to him. Not only sticking around, but sticking around, staying active, doing content. His highlight videos are awesome. So outside of the roster, Khalil Gore is sweet. I really like him.
I would really watch out for him next cycle. You know, guy's got a great attitude. He's like, he's stuck with that roster. There's been a few guys who've stuck with these rosters just to be part of the community. And hats off to those guys. That's just awesome.
And he was a game out of playoff spot this season. So.
Right. So, I mean,
he's been winning a couple more games each season, it feels like.
That's what makes it that, you know, you see these guys that just take it on the chin. And then they're like, hey, I'm just happy to be, you know, here. And that's what really makes it, you know, that's what makes this whole thing. We can't have guys losing three games and bouncing, you know. Like, no, we can't. Okay. So we're up to a guy we all don't know very well here with the Ravens, but, you know, he was in my division, so if you guys don't mind, I'll kind of. This is a nasty roster, and I love the way Grizz team builds. But I mean, it's adding Jonathan Taylor was kind of like I would take this would be the roster that I would right now if we said we had to start over. Looking at him, yeah, man, this would be the one. I mean, Chase is one of those guys that's a town bike. He gets passed around a lot. I don't know if he ever played up to his ratings or whatever, but he seems to burn me just enough. And Kyle Hamilton seems to be all over the place. And then you get Taylor, and now he's got McLaurin, he's got Jackson, still got Andrews playing. I mean, I don't know. This is one of the better rosters in the league. I don't know. What do you think, Nick?
So I think it is a really good roster. I think, you know, fast at, you know, the right positions. He's got a, you know, stud DB and Kyle Hamilton. I think, as crazy as it sounds, I think it could be way better. I think Grizz got, you know, frustrated or fed up after a couple seasons, and he would just trade way more than needed to get certain pieces. Like, it was, he would just throw, yeah, two firsts, give me this guy. Like, and it just, like, you probably didn't need to give up two firsts and a player to get so-and-so. So, I think he could have kept some of those higher picks. But his roster turned out really nice. I'm happy he didn't trade Lamar because that
So I don't know if the whole league needs to hear that one, but it was close.
Yeah, dude, he was talking about trading him to the Packers. That was
wow.
But I do. His team's in a good spot. His linebacker Boswell's fast. He drafted well when he did pick, but he drafted like multiple firsts for Jonathan Taylor, multiple firsts for Caleb Farley. Like it just. A lot of times where he was like, "Oh, no draft pick," like, you know. So
he tends to be an aggressive trader, like Bracken, but with, you know what I mean. But at the end of the day, they both end up with like pretty good rosters.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you're giving up two firsts, you better be getting at least a stud back, and he did, so that's good. It just isn't the typical Grizz team where you see some, Austin Hambrick or Akeem Spriggs, one of the
right,
just fun Madden Gen studs. So,
what do you think, Rob?
He does have the real Sean Smith on his team.
That's true. He took him super early.
Yeah, he took him because of the name. He didn't do a lot of building through the draft. He really maximized Kyle Hamilton. Well, that guy was – he was a problem.
He's first safety to win MLP in a bit, too.
What was his speed at the beginning of the cycle, 88?
I thought it was like 88, 89.
Yeah. He used 90. A plus one on him.
Yeah,
he got a plus one physical.
Yeah.
But no, he did fantastic with him. I mean, I'm sure we'll be talking about him at the end of the season. But not a lot as far as out of the draft, but overall good looking squad.
Sure. Okay. We got five more teams to go or ish. Now Nick, I'm gonna talk to you about this one. We got the Saints going on, and these are one of those, this is the stepchild. I don't know if we gotta spend a lot of time on this roster.
No.
Yeah,
it's not really not really Revival's fault.
No.
He's had the team for a couple a season and a half, two seasons maybe. But Riot left him, dude, just a dud of a squad. The only player worth anything was that receiver that he abused the first season, J.D. Baxter. But, you know, he moved him. Jeremy Rowe, that corner, was okay. Christopher Black's probably the best piece on this team, and that was who Revival took in the draft. Or no, Riot took him right before he left, I think. He was all excited he took him and then quit after the first game when he got smoked. So, this roster is not great, and it's, you know, hopefully we'll see. Because Revival's another guy creeping up at the team draft. You know, when you sit long enough with a bad roster that you didn't build, you start to get a little eager to get those user rank points so you can get a team you want. So,
be honest, Riot, when Riot's here full time, he's not that great of a team builder. Rob, are you Rob, are you disagreeing with me or what?
Well, number one, the whole Baxter trade, I'm still kind of scratching my head trying to figure out, you know, how did he get fleeced out of Baxter? But no, I'm just kidding.
Baxter should not have gone number two in the draft like he did earlier. No, that was weird.
Riot was all in on that Christopher Black. He was wanting him something fierce. I actually traded back so he could jump up and take him. And I mean, it worked out good for me because I got the guy that I wanted, a linebacker that don't matter, but that's okay. That's who I wanted, and I got him. But but I mean, it's I agree with what you guys are saying.
Okay, good. We're going to move on to the Seahawks now. I'll just, start something off quick. He was all in on Joe Burrow, and I think I should have listened to Nick when he said
Big,
he
Williams, like, he wanted everybody.
Yeah, he didn't say to move Burrow specifically. He said, move your big pieces. And I think he offered me two first. And, you know, obviously Brackett took that bait and did it. And it seemed to work out for both people. But looking, he's not a huge team builder. He's just not. However, he's a team retainer.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't mind those guys either.
Oh, big cycle for Kenneth Walker III. Big cycle for Noah Fant. DK, he's added a couple of receivers. That Darby's been nice for him. Defensively, early in the cycle, he used that defensive tackle when D-line was broken, and he put up some pretty big tackle for lock numbers. He was smart. He traded for JT Woods, the 6'4 safety. He kept Jamal Adams. He has Tariq Woolen still. Added a couple other young DBs. The roster didn't need much work, and he kept the pieces he needed to, added some nice ones, and he's been competitive all cycle. Cycle for Kenneth Walker.
And I think this roster looks like a good takeover for you at the number one pick in 24.
Dolphins.
Whoa. See, this is why you listen to this podcast, folks. You get the commissioner. You get the freaking inside shit. He's going
to see a grown man cry when I take the Dolphins.
You hear that, Biz? You hear that? It ain't the Seahawks. Rob, do you have any quick comments about side effects roster?
Well, he did go out and make the trade to pick up Herbert. I mean, I know you kind of talked about he was shopping around, he was going after Burrow. He ended up, I guess, redirecting and going after Herbert. So he picked him up early, and he's kind of rode him through the cycle, but always tough to play. Always fun to play. I do like playing Irik. He's a good time. So
yeah, he's a good user, and trust me, he's grown a lot over the last couple of cycles. He's a lot better than what he was a couple of years ago. So it's nice to have him around. And looking at this roster, he's just playing with.
He had no choice but to grow.
So there's another tidbit from the commissioner, folks, of why you listen to this podcast.
So, real quick though, the Herbert deal was Herbert in a fourth for a current first, a current second, and a future first. And I don't know what those picks ended up being. For maybe Brackett will head us into chat.
It was going to be me or Brackett. And they're both
he was messaging me about Baker Mayfield before I traded him BBD. He was in on every quarterback.
VPD's trade cycle was wild.
That's so weird. I did not get one offer on Davis Mills by him. That's kind of surprising.
Dude, VPD is – you can't even pinpoint where that guy's on the map. Now, I love trading with him because I'm the same way. We're both bipolar traders. You have no idea.
He gets in there and he's like, oh, I have to use all four trades. You're like, you don't have to.
God bless him. I'll knock on his door and we'll open it up and he'll be like, okay, yeah, and we'll have a trade done in literally 10 seconds.
Oh, dude, he'll move like a 72 corner for a 72 corner just to finish a trade off. And he's like, all right, I got four in there.
He's such a pragmatic trader. Okay, we're on to the Steelers. So we had a little bit of talk the other day, and Brapp is super honest about his team building. It's not awesome, but he makes up for it in being a user. However, he knows the positions where he has to be good at, like his defensive tackle and his running backs. He doesn't need to have star quarterbacks or wide receivers. Rob, I know that you had a deal with him, with your quarterback. You know, what were those talks like?
Well, I mean, he did approach me. He was out of trades the season before, and he did approach me about Weber.
Weber.
I picked him up with my second pick late in the first round, and he was a decent Madden gen to start with, but unfortunately he got gifted to me, which was just, I felt so bad for that guy. So he deserved an opportunity to get to experience playoffs. So without a doubt, he's had a little bit of success with him, but man, you mentioned Earl Ward. That guy, he's a problem.
He got him in the Trey Lance deal, I think, to Tosh.
He's a problem.
So Brapp reminds me of NWS as a team builder, where they both don't have the patience and like the want to like draft or care to draft. So sometimes they just take less of a trade to move their picks away. It's like, wait, why are you trading for those two pieces? You could have just drafted one of the two, you know, something like that. But Brapp's had a pretty good cycle. He just played Jack pretty tough. I think, 15-7 in that playoff game? Which the top, you know, the low scoring game this Madden, sometimes hard to come by. So it's been a good cycle for him in a pretty competitive division. I do think tough division. I mean, man, you play him all the time. What do you got?
I mean, like, if you look at him, he's going to have the top three players that mean the most to him at his highest overalls, right? He's going to have his running back, his defensive tackle, his tight end. You know, he doesn't give a shit about anybody else. Like, and you know, when he does make moves, he's a lot like Jack. You just know you're getting fucked. You know, like, you're like, hey, dude, why do you want this defensive tackle? You know what I mean? Like, when he traded for Earl Ward, he gave up a ton for him. And at the time, he just looked very average. And I was like, I remember, like, not being worried about it.
And that, then that running back he has is nice. That Rhodes, he's nice.
So he doesn't develop his, even though he's a great runner, he doesn't develop his own running backs.
Because you can put up really good seasons and not really develop because five guys put up better seasons. You know, like it's hard out there in the stat races. You know,
thank God he created team build, or I would have never won a game off the guy. So it's good that that's his only weakness, because as a play caller and as an actual Madden guy, he's much better than anybody in that division. Okay, now I think we have an inside scoop here on the next roster, but Rob, I want to talk to you about, before you comment on the end result, what are your regrets, and what would you have done differently with this roster, looking at it right now as we're all looking at it?
I mean, it's for me, it's been a really fun team to play. I got a safety that I really like. I've got a couple linebackers that I really like. I held on to Stingley. I don't know how, because every offseason I was just getting blanketed with trade offers for him. So I was luckily able to hang on to him. The Stokes trade, in reality, probably I would probably do it again. I mean, I think it was, I mean, he compliments Stingley. They're both aggressive. You know, my problems with win and losses didn't have anything to do with my corners, but you know, all in all, I'm happy with the pieces I took. I'm trying to think back to what I could have done differently.
Was Alexander your first pick of the cycle?
Yes.
I think you look at Rob's secondary. Can you guys still hear me? I switched to the Bluetooth of the car.
Yeah.
Rob's secondary is nasty. And I think some of it might be play calling. Some of it's just positioning. Some of it's Madden, you know, Madden 23. But you're not going to find maybe NWS's corners, but like there's, you know, not really a better duo out there than those two. You know, for Rob's sake, I would have liked Rob to pass on the Stokes trade and keep his firsts. Just more fun when Rob drafts high up in the draft and gets some studs and, you know, builds those storylines. And at the time, I just don't think, you know, you weren't going to take down Tosh, you know. And that's where I just, you know, sometimes it's like, hey, I don't care if I'm going to win the Super Bowl. Let me get my guys. But I think this is one of your better teams you've built, to be honest. I think your running back early in the cycle is nice. You just stop handing the ball and you just run with your quarterback now. But he at 96 speed or something.
Yeah.
I tried to get him, I think, second or third offseason.
Yeah.
With a first or something. And I was like, I'm going to hold on to him. I was like, dang. But, I think it's a pretty good roster. You know, it's the typical Rob roster because there's never a good wide receiver on the roster. You know?
No.
They don't – he drafts some. They just – you know, they all sit at that 70, 72 overall and catch 50 balls for 600 yards and four touchdowns.
Would you admit that this is probably your best roster you've built?
I would say that's probably true. I actually – in the last draft, in the second round, got that John Woods wide receiver.
Yeah.
And he had an insane change of direction, and I don't know if that – works for me or what, but I mean, that guy had over 1,000 yards, which, trust me, to get over 1,000 yards on my team, you're doing something. Unless you're Riley Lee.
He's good.
Some guys, two seasons on your team. I will think, though, we do have to mention, though, you know, we mentioned really, but Earl Alexander, dude, we have never seen tackle numbers like this, which you can, if that's a good thing or a bad thing, you know, whatever. It's probably good sometimes, bad other times, but we have never seen the amount of tackles from one player. I went through and looked at like the Hall of Fame Madden Gen linebackers, and like even the best ones are like, you know, 90 tackles a season or like, you know, nothing. This dude had like 143 or something, dude. Like, this number.
Yeah, he had 160, yeah. I think, one year. Yeah. He was a psycho.
These numbers, when we get to the end, you see those tackles numbers next to some of the other players, because I just started doing my spreadsheet of getting everybody together. It is it's pretty wild to see the amount he leads a lot of really good players by. So,
Rob, I think this is a great roster, Rob, and I think this is something to hang your hat on.
Yeah, I'm satisfied with the roster. Not so much the sportsmanship rating, but definitely the roster I'm satisfied with. But no, Alexander should top 1,000 tackles this coming season. Last time I added him up, he was close.
That's wild.
So we got two teams left. We have an interesting guy here. Tosh, who has had so much success with our league. He's an interesting cat as far as it comes to team building or lack thereof. He and self-admitted, he doesn't He doesn't love to draft. He's not that good at team building. Looking at his roster, that totally confirms that. But he does enough to stay competitive, no matter what. He'll add a piece here, a piece there. Nick, from a higher level user, what do you think of his team building?
Oh, it's interesting. He kind of just takes his roster. Honestly, with coaching football, he doesn't really participate in much until like at least the third season. But he was, he was fortunate to be in a division that you only took 7 games to win the division. A lot of the time, no offense to those other guys.
But he
always adds a couple. Like his Browns roster, he added a corner, Brett Luther. The Chiefs roster he added a safety and a corner, running back. Like this time he's got that little running back Turner is pretty nice. Little fast guy. The games I've watched of Tosh lately, dude, that dude against Van could have ran for like 600 yards.
Seriously.
Yeah. Tosh, he knows the game well, and it is a testament to, I don't care what anyone wants to say, Madden is Madden, and from Madden to Madden, it does not change much, dude. It is the same concepts. I don't care what features, freeform, vision cone, I don't care what it is. If you're good at one Madden, you're pretty much going to be good at all of them because not much changes. You play a couple games, you're like, oh, okay, I can still do the same kind of things, and good users adjust and make a couple changes. But outside of his roster, it's not much to, it's not that, nothing special of a roster. I think he's still using like Kadarius Toney, and like, he has that one fast receiver he does throw streaks to, which you gotta, be aware of, but. Really, it's been a good cycle. He finished strong here with a Super Bowl appearance, a conference championship appearance. We'll see if he can. This might be the first cycle he hasn't won a Super Bowl since he's been here. So he's got a season or two to go get one. Who knows?
I don't think he cares what his roster looks like. He just doesn't.
No, and I don't know if it's public knowledge, and I apologize to Tosh if I say this, but I think it might be bad for all of us. I don't think he is coaching football this year, which gives him a lot of time at the start of the cycle to figure some stuff out. So it might be interesting to see what happens in Madden 24.
So what's going to happen is he's in that spot where the Browns are going to fall to him.
Yeah, I think – yeah. And the Browns roster, I don't care what people – it's a nice roster, dude. You move JOK to safety. Yeah. Woo!
I mean, now we're cooking. Compared to what Tosh usually starts with, yeah.
Dude, it can't get much worse than what the Browns look like this cycle, let me tell you.
Woo!
Got him. No, I'm excited to see what happens. I think – yeah, go ahead. Sorry, I talked a lot there.
No. Rob, before we move on to the last team, which is the Vikings – any comments on Tosh and his roster building and what it looks like?
Well, I played Tosh a lot this cycle, and the best way to describe Tosh
is... Did you beat him once or no?
I beat him one time, and still don't understand how I did, but I mean, it was early during football season. I might have been playing Elliot, or I'm not sure, but no, he is tough. I mean, I say it's death by 1,000 paper cuts when you play him, because if you make an adjustment, he makes an adjustment. And I mean, he can play a low scoring game. He can play a high scoring game. I mean, he can pass, he can run, he can attack you from many different ways, but he's had a good cycle with that Truman, that quarterback.
Yeah,
that's been kind of interesting. That guy's been decent.
He fell to him by a computer, like AI, when he was on
vacation. Dude, yeah, the computer took him late, and he was like, "Oh shit, I'm gonna use him."
Yeah.
One thing that's worth noting, dude. Outside of that Ben Barrett, who's 24 years old, his DBs, dude, 89 speed, 88, 88, 89, 89, 86, 93, 88, 89, 90, 92, 90. His DBs are slow, dude. Barno would be as fast as CB, and he's a defensive end. which this Madden, that's why I don't care what people say, dude. Streaks are not a problem if you are ready, if you use the right spots. Like, And Tosh, you know, Tosh, he sets his plays up and he uses in the right spot, and he watches enough games where he gets an idea of what you want to do. So
yeah, absolutely. Tosh knows, like, there's nothing worse than, you know, me and my predictability, which everybody knows about playing Tosh. He will just be like, okay, this is what Van's gonna try to do this game, and it'll be all over me, and then I'll get frustrated about it. So he's been that way ever since, you know, I was commissioned another league. So looking at his roster, he makes the most out of whoever he has. So, you know, shout out to the whole, it doesn't matter what roster he gets, he's coming for you.
And he's creeping up the user rank.
Oh, what's he at now?
He came in, he was 32 for a while there. He's creeping up. I don't remember what he's at now, but he's definitely, if he keeps it up, he's definitely going to finish, like, you know, around that 20, maybe a little higher mark, depending on what people in front of him do. It'll be interesting.
Pass the veterans, which would be embarrassing.
Yeah, you know, some people not here for the content. It's okay.
Okay. Yeah. So now we're on last team, guys.
Super interesting, in my opinion.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to lead with Nick on this. Looking at this, this is a nice roster, man. Like,
dude, you start with wings. You know, wings took them and got, you know, Madigan in late in the first draft, and then, you know, added the 99 speed receiver, and Justin Jefferson was having a huge cycle, and, like, you know, defensive. I don't know. It's, you know, it was a wings roster. He added some corners, Travis Nelson. But then, you know, obviously wings leaves. Madigan had like 60 touchdown passes in a season. He was like on fire. And then we had a couple different people. Fast. And then, you know, it ends up with the new, you know, Badger takes him over and benches Madigan.
Nick, you're cutting out.
Yeah.
Nick, you're cut out. What do you, are you in the shower?
No. No, I'm probably trying to connect the Wi-Fi at the house. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yep. Okay, no, yeah. So repeat what you said.
Yeah, no, he, you know, play a partner took over the Vikings for a bit there, and it was pretty brutal. You know. So, but yeah, go ahead. Somebody else can talk about him.
Okay. Well, I mean, I know that Winks is a good roster builder, and he started off great. You know, really, you could see where he was going. And then obviously, the minute that he figured he couldn't win the division against Jiggy, he fucked off.
Ooh.
So, well, that's the truth. I mean, let's just be fucking honest. I don't care. That or the soap making business wasn't fucking any good, but we're going to go with Jiggy on this one. The Madigan looked good. That receiver that he took, he figured out after getting beat or being in the same division with Hammer, he figured out that speed thing with the 99 receiver. Obviously, did very well with him. He's still only 29, but yeah, it's hard to talk about this roster because it's been moved around and it didn't have any really direction. Rob, do you have anything else to add to that?
I liked that Taft, that quarterback that he took. I know there was a little bit of controversy over him being the number one pick, but man, that guy, he doesn't look bad. Like a 97 throw power. I mean, decent speed enough to get you out of trouble. Of course, you mentioned Farrar with
end of the cycle. You come in, you know, draft whoever you want, have some fun with somebody else's team before, right, you know, kickstart that new cycle.
You're not gonna get any shit for drafting whoever the hell you want at that point.
Unless you come in and say you're the greatest drafter ever, you never had a bad draft. Just kidding. Just kidding, Badger, no command. That was just a little shot. I haven't said it in a long time. But he did have a good draft. His running back is nice. The one he wasn't aware of the 75-25 rule. He just thought it was the receiver rule, so he broke at this last season, but his running back had a massive season.
You know, but the thing is, like I've said before, all the new guys I think are going to be here for a long time.
I mean, yeah, we got lucky.
Maybe not Elio, but everyone else, maybe.
Yeah, it This last crop of guys, we've talked about every podcast, but this last crop of new guys we brought in, you could see some long-term XFL staples, especially like Ilio, Tide Pod are both young. Like they could be, you know, who knows how long they stick around. I've been doing this, what, seven years. That's wild. I had no kids and I wasn't even married at the start of this. Now I have my 5-year anniversary in 2 weeks. So two kids. So
everyone's going to come for the meetup next year from the Detroit.
That's dude. It's going to, if we do that,
yep, we are doing that.
It could get interesting.
Rob will be
my front door like a month early, dude.
I'm all in. I mean, I'm all in. You just name the place so I can book the plane.
Rob will be like, I quit my job. I'm ready to go. Where are we going? Rob will go visit.
Drive across Ambassador Bridge in a 1977 convertible.
Oh, don't take me to Windsor. Cheetah strip club, dude.
There's some plastic plants over there, I think.
this was a good idea, man. It was fun. It's always nice to touch on all 32 rosters and let guys hear a little bit about, you know, positive, negative. Maybe some can improve on it. Maybe some are like, "Oh, screw you guys!" Like I love my roster. So,
with that said, Nick, do you want to give one, you know, a shout out to make sure when it goes dark, because these new guys are
going
to
be
panicking, man.
This Sunday, I posted about it, but this Sunday was the last time the rankings will be publicly posted. User rank points will still be counted, so still do your content, still hit your tweets. You know, the only things that aren't reflected right now, obviously whatever happens content-wise these next couple of weeks, but then you throw in Survivor participation. Every week you participate, you get 0.25 user rank points, so you think that all cycle long. Vegas participation, all your bets, Discord chat. There's a lot of stuff that gets factored in here. And then obviously, you know, some people like to do their late cycle donations when the cycle gets dark. You can donate up to $150 and you get 1 point per dollar. Then those donations go to graphic templates, you know, the Neon Sports fees. You know, if we do a meetup, we have some funds saved up still from past cycles, which is nice. You know, we always try to do some nice stuff for people, like, you know, Brian, we got some stuff for a couple things like that. But rankings go dark. And then the next time you see where you draft is when you pop up on the clock. You will not know draft day where you're picking. You will find out, you know, if you have the sixth pick, you find out right after the fifth pick. I DM you and say, "Hey, you're on the clock," and you're like, "Whoa." So you'll see some surprises. You'll see people move up. It gets interesting and kind of the fun of it. So,
all the young guys buckle up, man. This is going to be the best part of the year. When you think you're picking 5 and you pick 15, or do you think you're picking 15?
Because I will say this, you know, we can close on this note, but this is the best time of the cycle. We start winding down a little bit. I'm thinking this is probably the last season. Don't quote me. It kind of depends on a few things. But you know, you got the Super Bowl, last Super Bowl. Well, you get the team draft, then you get the last Super Bowl, then you get the award show, then you get, you know, we find out Hall of Famers, we find out user Hall of Famers, we find all sorts of fun stuff, and then you know, sometimes we get a little second team draft shuffle there with if somebody leaves. So. But yeah, always happens. With that being said, if you thanks for tuning in. If you listen this long, it's kind of a longer one, but it is when you touch on all teams. We are going to sign off here, and thank you for tuning in on this beautiful Monday night. Well, Tuesday morning for you guys, but we are out of here.
Later.
Hold on, Craig. Where'd you go?
Whoops.